Blog Talk Radio.
Here's an important message from Reverend Dr. Jeremiah A. Wright, Jr., Senior Pastor of Trinity United Church of Christ.
Did you know that more than half of all the new HIV/AIDS cases reported are among African Americans? Our men, our women, and our children are at risk. We must put aside our fears, exercise our faith, and put an end to this deadly disease. Encourage testing. Learn more about HIV and AIDS.
For testing locations, contact the CDC National STD and AIDS Hotline at 1-800-342-AIDS.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for listening to the show this morning. You can follow me on twitter.com/Joy Keys. You can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And also, if you have any questions or concerns, you can email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. Again, that's SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. All that information is right here on Blog Talk Radio, the homepage. Today I'll be speaking with a powerhouse athlete, but also an activist off the field, WNBA star Candace Wiggins. She's with the Minnesota Lynx. She was born in Baltimore. And good morning, Candace.
Good morning. How are you doing?
How you doing? She's all the way out there on the West Coast. I'm here on the East Coast, so she's just getting her Java on, so to speak.
Yes, pretty much.
Do you, are you a Starbucks girl or a Dunkin' Donuts girl?
I have to say Dunkin' Donuts girl, not for the coffee, but for the donuts.
For the donuts? Oh, my God, they allow you to eat donuts when you're an athlete?
Well, I need donuts and any other calories I can. I'm actually on the, you know, I have a slight build. I'm built like my father. He was always under, you know, thinner, so a donut wouldn't kill me, you know. I actually need
That's great. Well, I just want to say thank you. Like earlier I was mentioning, I really appreciate you calling in this morning. I also wanted to thank you for all your activism work that you do on behalf of HIV/AIDS. I have personally been touched by it, and you too. Why don't you tell the audience your story about how you have been affected by HIV/AIDS?
Yeah, well, you know, I think my story is a little unique in that my father played in the major leagues. He played for the Padres and then for the Orioles. And in 91, he died from AIDS. And he died in a time when there was a lot of there wasn't a lot of knowledge about it. It was definitely an isolated illness of like a they disease. I call it they, you know, they had it. He was a drug user, and unfortunately, his story has. You know, unfortunately he died, but for me, you know, I was a really young age, and my life kind of began where his ended, so I've really been focused on carrying that legacy and making people understand more about it, because I've kind of been fueled by his tragedy.
So you were very young. A lot of times people don't have a lot of memories. What are some of your strongest memories that you have of him?
You know, not very memories. I call them flashes of memories. I remember kind of more of a time. I remember a feeling, because I was only 3 years old, but I was, you know, his funeral, I definitely felt an absence, I would say, like, in my life. But at the same time, I wasn't afraid of it, because I wanted to know, like, more about why, you know, how he got to that point. And for me, my whole life hasn't really been about, you know, figuring out what I know. It's kind of like discovering what I don't know and putting those pieces together, because that's all you can really do when there's something like, you know, a tragic death in your family.
Yeah. So now, this is I told you earlier, I've done several shows on HIV/AIDS, and it still amazes me to this day. People don't want to get tested. What can you say to people? What do you say to people when they say, I don't need to get tested?
Well, I just think that, you know, I say to everyone, I think when it comes to things like this now, the epidemic has moved, it has shifted. See, when my father was alive, it was really just an isolated gay man disease, you know what I'm saying, drug users. It was kind of like, but it's moved, the community, it has moved into our community. And when I say our, I mean everyone. It's a colorless community. It's the human race community it's moved into. Knowing your status is better than not knowing your status in these times. It's like, think of the virus as the bubonic plague, and you need to know if you have, you know what I'm saying, what your status is. Because now people need to also understand there are many, many people living with HIV. People are living with HIV now, and there are treatment things that you could go to. There are outreach programs. There's the community. There's groups. There's people out there that are at your disposal if you need that, whatever you need. And so I would say, STEM, life's all about choices. What choices do you want to make? You know, you're empowered by those choices you make. There's psychological consequences, but there's also power in knowing. Knowledge is power. So I would say, like, knowing your status goes along with just understanding what this epidemic is and how it has shifted. So, you know, the numbers are not just about they anymore. It's about us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's important that the key word there was power. I think you gain power with knowledge. And earlier we talked just briefly about how you were, you know, trying to seek knowledge. And I think in all areas of your life, it's important to seek knowledge, which will empower you. So whether you need to find out about your diabetes or whether you need to find out about your high blood pressure or whether you need to, you know, get your eyes checked. I just did a show about glaucoma. This month is last month was Glaucoma Awareness Month. And the importance of getting your eyes checked because glaucoma sneaks up on you and there's no signs. And a similar age, I mean, there's signs, but by the time there's signs, you've progressed. So as Candace was saying, there are treatments and things available. People can survive. I had Hydea Broadbent. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her. She's a young lady who, in the beginning of the age, she received it from her mother.
Uh-huh.
She's about 25 now, but she's lived all her life with HIV/AIDS.
Right.
And, you know, she's an activist, and she, you know, has healthy times, but she also has sick times. So another issue is, yes, people are living with HIV/AIDS, but let's not think it's a picnic. You know, it's not a picnic.
Absolutely. And I really think that, you know, it's important for people to kind of understand that there's a lot to it. I think a lot of times our fear of what we don't know stops us from wanting to do anything. But if you just go to the next threshold, it's like you become so empowered with the knowledge that you have. You become in control of your life, and it's a great feeling. And I think that, you know, the fear of the conversation is really what's holding everyone back.
Yeah, I mean, but I think I'd rather know, and that way maybe be able to live a little longer. Now, you did a PSA. Talk to us about the PSA that you did with the other NBA stars.
Yeah, well, NBA Cares partnered with Greater Than, and you can go to greaterthan.org/NBA. And basically, it was the first time the NBA was able to do something for World AIDS Day. And I shot a shoot with me, Pau Gasol from the Lakers, Russell Westbrook from the Thunder, and Al Horford from the Hawks. And it's kind of just like we're all on the same team. That was like the theme of it. And just talking about, you know, about it's all like math, except science, greater than, you know. Knowing is greater than doubt, you know. We are greater than AIDS. So just kind of putting a basketball face that people are familiar with to World AIDS Day. It was launched then, and it's been amazing. And I got a chance to meet Pau Gasol at the shoot when we shot it in LA. And oh my God, like these guys are so awesome for that. And I know it's the first time a WNBA player and the NBA players have probably done something speaking out on AIDS. So I felt really good. I felt like a pioneer, but I also felt like this is so great that it's going to reach a wide audience.
Definitely. Now, you're also working with Until There's a Cure organization. How did you connect with them?
Until There's a Cure was the very first nonprofit organization that I worked with when I came out of college. It was a perfect fit because I was really, you know, kind of looking for who's out there. You know, I was just finishing college and going into the professional world, and we did this shoot with Until There's a Cure, and, you know, my face was kind of able to be out there on the PSAs that they do and selling the bracelet that they sell, which until.org, you can go online and learn more about the process and the progress that we've made for finding a cure. And vaccines are out there available, you know, which is another thing that people need to understand. And, you know, it's just kind of a very simple, like, until there's a cure, I will be here, and I will be an advocate, and it will be important to me.
Definitely. I think that's very important that you talked about the different cures. There's pills available. Also now they're doing a lot of research with the gels for women that women can put inside of their vagina to help protect against the virus. There's issues around whether circumcision has helped in different countries.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about numbers.
You've heard about, yeah. Let me just tell the audience, just for people who are not aware, I mean, I can't think of anybody who doesn't know about HIV/AIDS, but just in case, there's an estimated 1.1 million people currently living with HIV/AIDS, according to the CDC. There are approximately 53,000 new infections every year. Unfortunately, 45% of the new infections occurred among African Americans, 17% in Hispanics. Whites accounted for 35% of new infections. So February 7th is National Black HIV AIDS Awareness Day. February 7th, take your butt down to the clinic. Take your butt down to the doctor. You can get an oral rapid exam test. Takes like 5 minutes. I've done it. I've also had the blood test, which I think it takes about 2 weeks to get your results back. But the point is, it doesn't take that much of your time, and it's painless. Now, maybe psychologically, you might be a little nervous because you don't know what the information is. But as Candace said, power, knowledge is power, you know?
And you're just really, you're in control of your choices, you know? Just always be in control of the choices you have.
Definitely, definitely. Hold on a second. I think we have a caller. Good morning, caller. Can I help you? Can you hear me? Okay, I guess they can't hear. Good morning, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. Do you have a question for our guest this morning?
I do. I have some information to share as well. As you just said, knowledge is power. And when it comes to HIV/AIDS, this is great. There's great information out there from some wonderful people.
It really is.
Hello?
No, we're still here. We're listening.
Okay, great.
Where are you calling from? A leading
virologist from the University of Berkeley. His name is Dr. Peter Duesberg. And he feels that there's no conclusive test to show that this HIV virus actually causes this syndrome called AIDS. And Dr. Peter Duesberg, along with the great work of many other virologists, have blown the whistle, including Kerry Mullis, Nobel Prize winners. And the testing for AIDS doesn't actually prove that there's HIV. It looks for antibodies. And these antibodies supposedly cause this HIV virus, which has not been shown to cause AIDS. The medical, pharmaceutical, industrial complex is profiting over people dying from a boogeyman that doesn't exist. It's a lot to wrap your heads around, I'm sure. But open
Caller, just give me a second. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Miami.
You're calling from Miami. So I just want to thank you for calling in from Miami. You've given us a lot of information. I want to just talk to Candace a little bit about some of the things you were saying, okay? So please continue to listen. So, Candace, yes, the test checks for antibodies. And, yes, I agree with the caller in terms of pharmaceuticals. I agree in terms of a variety of different illnesses, the common cold, diabetes, lupus, multiple sclerosis. Why can we find a cure for cancer? I mean, things have been around for eons. And, yes, I agree to some degree there's a big business getting people to continue to take medicine. Candace,
What I would say is, a lot of times what happens is it gets really daunting when you talk about HIV and AIDS issues because people feel like there are all these numbers and who to trust and who to believe. What I say is, like, at the end of the day, it's trusting yourself. And I think if every individual, you know, took responsibility, not to quote, you know, Michael Jackson, but man in the mirror, you know, it's like start with you and start with what you know and what you and then like I said, there's power in that. And so I would just say, you know, I don't want people to get overwhelmed because it really, as a child, it really did overwhelm me and it was really daunting. It was a little scary, but at the same time, I'm telling you, the fear gets eradicated when you understand that it starts with you individually, and then you know what I'm saying, and that's where, and you go from there.
I mean, also in terms of the caller, they mentioned about you know, the point is that let me just say this: if you know something's going on inside your body, you need to go get it checked out. Once you find out what it is, you need to find a cure. Now there are alternative medicines, there's the mainstream medicines, but I personally want everybody to be healthy. A healthy community creates a healthy society, creates, you know, a healthy world, so to speak. There's a ripple effect. So if you're having issues, please go get them checked out, whether mental or physical. And once you find out what they are, you can choose, like Candace said, look in the mirror and decide your own path. Maybe you're not going to take the traditional medicines. Maybe you're going to try, you know, acupuncture, massage. Maybe you're going to try Tai Chi. Maybe you're going to try chanting. Maybe you're going to try, you know, praying. Whatever gives you the power to help your life be healthy, that's what you got to do. And if people are trying to make money off of it, you know what? I mean, I can't control them. I can only control me.
That's
you can
true.
Only control yourself. So if the medicine is helping you feel better, but it's putting money in somebody else's pocket, I want to feel better. And maybe I'll just have to pay for somebody's new Maserati, you know. But
yeah,
if it's personal choice you have to make, you know, a personal choice. So what's up next? You're going to be playing a game. When's your next game?
WNBA season will be my my debut return, my comeback, like my comeback year, because I tore my Achilles last season. But we opened up against the Sparks in LA, in Los Angeles. So that's back where, you know, I started from. And we'll be playing the Sparks, the Lynx will, on June 3rd of this year. So the WNBA, I'm really excited about this season. I haven't played in, you know, months and months. So I'll be back and I'll be, I'll have a new attitude, a new game for 2011.
Oh, that's great. Now, talking about accidents, I read something somewhere when you were younger, you had a car accident. You almost lost one of your eyes. Is that true?
Well, yeah, and I lost, you know, even more than that, almost my life, too. Yeah, I got in a really serious car accident when I was young. I was 3 years old, and I was... But I survived it. And, you know, it's funny because you don't remember much as a child, but I can remember.
Yeah.
And it's very similar to going through an injury or something, you know, making it, surviving something that's traumatic. I'm telling you, it makes you really get a new appreciation for life and the world. And so I've had that at a very young age.
So how did you decide about the basketball? Is it the influence of your father being in sports? Were there any other things you were interested in and you were, like, on the line, like, I don't know if I'm going to be a basketball player, I don't know, or you always knew, like, this is it?
Well, yeah, you know, I have to say, my mom, she was able to see my dad's career and kind of how, like, hard he worked to get to where he was. And
mm-hmm.
so she kind of always was letting me know, like, she saw an athletic gift in me and really made me understand the importance of having talent but also working hard at it. So she instilled that in my mind, and I got good at basketball, but I wanted to be the hardest worker, too. And
yes.
I think that just mixed together kind of started my whole basketball career. And I knew I could do great things with it. When the WNBA formed when I was 10, that changed my life. I had new goals. I had a hope that I could be a WNBA player. And then, you
right.
know, you set your goals, like, okay, so I want to be in the WNBA. So to get to the WNBA, I have to go to college. So then I set my sights on Stanford at a very young age. So then I had to work in the classroom. And then, you know, that's kind of how the basketball dream worked. It started with goals, and then it came down, and I just had a lot of fun doing it.
Well, you were the all-time leading scorer in Stanford's women's basketball history, in the Pac-10 Conference women's basketball history. Also, I read something, when you were in the fourth grade, you scored 30 points in basketball.
Okay. Oh, yeah, definitely. I definitely, in fact, it's really funny. I don't have any footage of a lot of the stuff I did in rec ball and stuff, but it would just get to the point where, you know, I would get a steal, and I was really, like, I was very competitive, but I was also kind of, you know, very nice, too. Very, that's kind of how I am. And so I would steal the ball when, you know, those games when I would have 30 and stuff. I would steal the ball from a girl and give it back to her. And then give it because I felt bad, you know. So I did score a lot of points, but I always knew that playing the game, you have to play with a purpose, and you have to, you know what I'm saying, it's a team sport, and I always loved that about basketball.
Well, definitely you're a team player. You've pushed very hard in the game. But you're also a glamour girl. You've been featured in Glamour magazine, 17 magazine. So do you like that, the glamorous side and doing photo shoots?
Of course. I love that. I've always loved, you know, definitely being a girl, being a woman, you know, and I always say my little thing is, you know, there's real models and there's role models, and both are fabulous. And I love to be both, you know, and I think, it's one of those things. That's what's so beautiful about women's basketball is that we're women first. You know, I play in the women's NBA. And so I just really embrace that. I go with it. And there's all different types of women. And I've been, you know, I am like the OG tomboy. Because I've played my whole life, like, with boys. I grew up with my brother. He's a year older than me. And him and I were like, you know, twin brothers, kind of, because I was always hanging with the boys. So I'm the OG tomboy. But at the same time, I'm very much a woman.
You're very much a woman. So what would you say? Excuse me. What would you say to young women today who have goals? What are some things that gave you strength to move forward in life? Was it prayer?
Well,
was it friends? Was it education? What do you think really helped you?
I think it's, first of all, just having, you know, that passion and a drive to do whatever you want to do and identifying that yourself. Don't anyone else identify it for you, you know. Even for me, like, I wanted to play volleyball at Stanford. And, oh, my goodness, I was told I could not ever think to play volleyball at Stanford. But I was like, no, it's a goal of mine. And so it was an added goal, and I achieved that goal. But you have to set goals, but also surround yourself with positive people who think positively about you and about your goals. And you have to do the work behind it. If there's no work to show what you want, then you don't have a goal. Mm-hmm. It's all about action, you know. It's like, you know, my whole favorite line is, don't talk about it, be about it. And if you do the things that you have to do to get there, a step at a time, and see that goal in mind, not only will you reach your goal, will you have an awesome opportunity to reach it, but more than that, when you do reach it, you'll feel good about reaching it because you'll know you did it through hard work.
You did the hard work, yeah. You know that you did the hard work. There's no way around hard work. I don't care what field you're in. You're in acting, you're in sports,
right.
You're in medicine, you're a lawyer. You still got to do your homework. If you don't do your homework, then no matter
exactly.
How
and
you
have to do
you
it.
Know?
You just have to. I had no life when I was in high school because my life consisted of doing. But what I learned was school became fun for me because I got good at it and I started learning more. And as I started learning more, I started feeling really good about myself because I was proud of the things that I was doing and the things that I knew and the person I was. So I would just say, you know, be proud of hard work and don't think that hard work and fun are isolated things.
Yeah, definitely. No, I don't think so. I think if you do your homework in the next and every sense of the word, then you can go out and play and have fun. The more you do your homework, the better you are doing your homework. You actually will eventually. Right, exactly. I think we have one more caller. I want to just take this caller. Good morning. Thank you for calling in. Can you hear me? Good morning. Okay, I guess they got disconnected. But I want to thank you so much, Candace, for calling in the show today. And,
thank you for having me.
No problem. I wish you luck with your coming season. And so now what magazine can we see you in next?
I'm all over the place, but one way you can catch me is I'm on Twitter at Candace Wiggins, and I love, you know, any kind of communication with my fans. I was a comm major at Stanford, so I'm really picky. I have a website, cwigginsworld.com, so you can check me out, and Facebook fan page, Candace Wiggins, and, you know, any questions that people have or any short stories they share, I appreciate that so much. I love it, and it touches me, and my fans are essentially who I am. And so feel free to just, you know, check me out or hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, or my website.
Definitely. Check her out on cwigginsworld.com. Check her out on Twitter, Candace Wiggins. Check her out on Facebook. You need to check her out. She's a powerhouse. Thank you so much for calling in this morning.
Thank you so much. And powerhouse, I'm working on it. I'm trying to be.
You're working on it? All right, girl.
I'm working on it. I'm working hard on it.
You have a great Saturday, okay?
Okay, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Just got off the phone, and I believe she's a powerhouse. Candace Wiggins, WNBA player, also HIV/AIDS activist, doing her thing. Watch out, she might steal the ball from you and then give it back to you. So you want to check her out on cwigginsworld.com. You also want to check her out on Twitter. Just look up Candace Wiggins. And you also want to check her out on Facebook. She has a fan page there, so you can leave her a note, leave her a story if you're dealing with HIV/AIDS in your life. She's open to listening and trying to support all causes that support HIV/AIDS awareness. I want to thank the listeners for listening this morning. I want to tell you we passed 50,000 downloads of the show. Yes, we have passed 50,000 downloads of the show, and that is all due to your support. I thank you so much. Again, you can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys. You can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And you can email me. Just email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. I got another great show coming up at 11:30. Awesome. Talking about powerhouse, this guy is off the chain, if I must say it like that. Love him, Roger Guinevere Smith. What do I say? He's a chameleon. He can play almost anything, absolutely anything. Amazing actor. You want to stay tuned. He's coming on at 11:30, talking about a new film he's doing, Muslim. Director Kasim Basir and producer Dana Offenbach are not able to make the call, but Roger will be here. So stay tuned. Call in 646-929-0368. You want to ask a question. I'm going to be tuning out now, but calling in a couple minutes for the second half of Saturday Morning with Joy Keys.
Here's an important message from Reverend Dr. Jeremiah A. Wright, Jr., Senior Pastor of Trinity United Church of Christ.
Did you know that more than half of all the new HIV/AIDS cases reported are among African Americans? Our men, our women, and our children are at risk. We must put aside our fears, exercise our faith, and put an end to this deadly disease. Encourage testing. Learn more about HIV and AIDS.
For testing locations, contact the CDC National STD and AIDS Hotline at 1-800-342-AIDS.